Hello and welcome to the Retail Week, our look at the biggest story in retail over the last 7 days. I'm Grace Bowden, reporter for Retail Week, and I'm joined by our head of content, Luke Tugby, and our executive editor, George McDonald. Today, we will be discussing Homebase's CVA, which is due for approval or not later today. They have plans to close 42 of their stores and slash rents on a further 70. But landlords are increasingly finding this contentious process to be one that they want to object to and even in some places attempt to block. Whether they'll be successful or not remains to be seen, but it does highlight that this is an increasingly controversial process and one that's leading to tussles between the property giants in retail and the retail operators within it. My first question would be, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this, are landlords being unfairly penalised? Are they getting a short shrift here and are they right to be kicking up a fuss?
I think I can see their point in some cases. I think what's happening at the moment is that there's different situations that different companies are finding themselves in, but landlords have got really annoyed by House of Fraser in particular. Yeah. And I think that has, as we talked about earlier in the year, we thought it was likely, that's been the trigger for much greater, much more vociferous actual legal action or the threat of it. Mm. If you look back at House of Fraser, the arguments that were made by the landlords were that retailers need to be transparent and fair. So I think, that's got to be the guiding principle. You know, just this week, Mike Ashley was talking about greedy landlords.
Yeah.
However, they're in business like everybody else to make money. CVAs are not victimless. I think in the case of Homebase, there are good reasons for its CVA to be approved. But I can see landlords' point. I think they've been made a bit of a whipping boy, and they're expected to bear quite a hefty burden.
Absolutely.
Although they're not on their own, other suppliers are the same.
Yeah.
This is the thing, and I don't have quite so much sympathy with landlords as you do, George. I think the amount of retailers that you speak to, and for want of a better phrase, tell me that they've been held over a barrel by landlords for so many years. And now that they're asking for a bit of help back from landlords, and there's suddenly objection, you look at some of the recent results you've had from landlords, Unibail, Redamco, Westfield, the new property giant that was created earlier this year. They said yesterday that their net rental income was up 4.7% on a like-for-like basis in the first half of that year. And Into was similar when they reported in July, net rental income up 1.3% on that same like-for-like basis. So despite the struggles that retailers are having on the high street, these bigger landlords at least are more than willing to keep that rental cost going up and up without actually being as collaborative and open and honest and helpful to retailers as they maybe could be.
Yeah, although I don't think it's so bright for them as you were painting the picture of there. Hammerson are getting out of retail parks altogether, aren't they? That could be another sign of things to come. It's quite hard to turn a buck for them too. And where it gets quite complicated is that there's quite a lot of wriggle room in how the amount owed to landlords is calculated. And again, that was at the heart of the dispute with House of Fraser. The lawyers fighting for the landlords then said, "It remains our belief that applying a 75% arbitrary discount to the value of landlords' claims is not the market norm and has no basis in law." So, you imagine that you're losing money because of a CVA and, what is owed to you is discounted by 75%. That's a 1-2, isn't it?
But what do suppliers stand to get, for instance? They might end up with maybe 2p or 10p in the pound. If you look at some of these suppliers that rely on their concessions in House of Fraser stores, if their CVA had gone through under previous ownership and half of their store portfolio was wiped out, if you look at certain businesses, that would account for 60, 70% of their revenues in some cases if they were to lose their presence in House of Fraser.
Yeah, I take that point. So it comes back to this idea of fair treatment. You know, it's not good for anybody. You know, lots of people will lose their jobs, the retailers affected, the suppliers losing money, the landlords are taking a haircut. It's not good for anyone. So I think the really important thing is that everybody's got to come away from it thinking that, okay, I don't like this, but I think we were treated fairly. And again, you know, you look at the difference between House of Fraser and Homebase. House of Fraser was absolutely lambasted by the British Property Federation for not properly consulting, in their view, whereas in the case of Homebase, they said that they have followed the best practice. So again, people may not like it, but they've had it explained to them.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing that's sort of striking for me as well, as someone who's, you know, for all of us, I imagine, as we're all sort of watching these stories develop and reporting on them as well and talking to people around them. It does feel at the moment like it's such an actively acrimonious relationship between retailers and the property titans. I think things like Mike Ashley using the word greedy to describe landlords this week, into however many weeks into ownership of House of Fraser. Like, I mean, I know he's not, you know, the world's greatest diplomat, but bloody hell, Ashley. It does just feel like it's reaching fever pitch in terms of the level of mudslinging. Is there a way of making this process, if not, it's never an appealing process, obviously, because it's always going to be fraught, because it's a retailer in the sense of in a state of distress, and that's going to have a knock-on effect. But is there a way of making it a little bit more just fair and open? And would it be better if they collaborated more? Like, do you think there's any way of making this to be a little bit more?
For me, the starting point isn't necessarily within the CVA process. It's within the landlord-occupier relationship, full stop. If you look in continental Europe, a lot of the agreements that retailers will have on their rent in stores, it will be half will be fixed rent and half will be turnover based, and there will be this openness and this collaboration between retailer and landlord, where a landlord will see a retailer's books on a monthly basis, and they will see if they are struggling, and they will try and help them by saying, well, this month you're going to be paying less rent because you've made less money. And to me, in my experience, that doesn't seem as prevalent, certainly in the UK. I know we were talking before, Georgia, and there are a lot of turnover-based rental agreements now. A lot of retailers do have them, but in Europe, that seems the norm, whereas here it doesn't. And I think if you are starting from that point of collaboration and togetherness and openness, then that will bleed through everything that you do, including a CVA.
And that's what Mike actually suggested as well, hasn't he? He's suggested some of the landlords suggesting that they would pay rent based on the level of turnover and do it on a branch by branch basis based on the actual money that's going through the tills.
Yeah. I mean, you used the word acrimonious a moment ago. Yeah. I think that's undoubtedly the case in some instances. But I personally wouldn't overdo that. Yes, it is mudslinging, but that's just part of the general push and shove in business.
Yeah.
You know, there's always negotiation over price between a supplier of something, in this case property, and the buyer, and it's quite right that there should be that push and shove, I think. That said, though,
it does feel like it's more than usual, though, with CVAs specifically, though. Like, I don't think I've seen this level of pushback on CVAs. I mean,
no.
The number of CVAs either. I do think it's above the standard level of healthy business.
Well, there hadn't been anything like what happened with House of Fraser. But having said what I just did, you know, there must be ways that can be found so that the property owners and other suppliers who lose out can maybe benefit from the upside if a CVA works and the business gets back on track. You know, there was talk at the time of House of Fraser's of creditors getting an equity stake in the business. Or you might envisage that you could build into the CVA something like a special dividend, you know, when a certain level of performance is reached.
Yeah, maybe trying to be a little bit more creative about it rather than using it as quite such a blunt instrument on both sides, and have it be a little bit more collaborative. Lots to think about there. Thanks so much for your thoughts, guys. Really interesting stuff. Looking ahead to next week, we have updates from Halfords, McColl's and Dixon's Carphone as well. So do check back in with us for that. We will obviously be covering the home base story as it unfolds and House Fraser, as you can expect. So do keep in touch with all of us on all of that. You can interact with all of us on Twitter. Our handles are below. Also, if you'd rather just listen, then look at our mugs. There's a listener-y version which you can check out as well. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you again next week.